Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Daf Yud. We are holding two lines from the top of the Amud. We're actually in the midst of a discussion, which started with a question that was posed by Levi to his Rebbe Danasi. Levi asked as follows. We have a list of 15 Nashim, which are Arayis, listed back in the Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph. What happened to number 16? I have a suggestion. Add another one to the list. What are you going to add? Imoy Anusas Aviv. So his brother is faced with a Yevama, who happens to be his own mother, Anusas Aviv, who was involved in a forced relationship with his father. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passed away without children. He left behind a Yevamo who happens to be Imoy Anusas Aviv of his surviving brother, Shimon. He actually is the son of this Isha, but Reuven is not the son of this Isha, because Yaakov was married to somebody else who gave birth to Reuven. When he was involved in this forced relationship with this woman here, she bore him Shimon. So now when she went and married Reuven and became a Yevama to Shimon, she is now also to Shimon. She happens to be Shimon's mother, Anusas Aviv. That was the question. Why can't we include that in the Mishnah? So she's not suitable for Yevam, nor is the Tzara, Reuven's other wife, because she was in the same household as the Erva. So he told him, look, it's not practical, because the case that you're talking about is really a machlikis-oriented case. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow one to marry Anusas Aviv. Even Reuven was not meant to marry this Isha, with whom his father had a forced relationship. We don't want to get involved in machlekes. So according to the Rabbanan, this actually works, because Reuven is allowed to marry Anusas Aviv. He can marry Rachel, who was Anusa of his father Yaakov. And when he marries her and he passes away, she falls to Shimon, and she's an heir to Shimon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, she's off limits. Even Reuven, who's not her son, could not have married her because she was Anusas Aviv. We want to avoid machlekes. We don't want to get involved in these cases. Then the Gemara tells us, well, we have a klal, a formula presented by Rabbi Chiya, which says like this, that in all these harayis, with respect to all these nashim in the Mishnah, you can have the following scenario. You can have a case of two yivamis who are now falling liyivam to two brothers. The two yivamis happen to be sisters. So typically you have a problem with being yavam the sister of your yivama, because a yivama is bound to you. She's almost like your wife. Your wife's sister is usher. So a sister of yivama is a problem. But suppose only one of these yivamas are really mutter to you. The other one is an erva to you. And the same with your fellow brother. He has a problem with one of these nashim, but the other one is mutter. So you take yours and he takes his. Because technically you only have one yivama. It's suitable for you. And the other one is not part of the equation. So in this case, each brother takes his yivama and they're safe. So this concept of ha'asur l'zeh muteras l'zeh va'asur l'zeh muteras l'zeh, when it's a case of achisa shei yivimta, can apply to all the cases in the Mishnah. So, for example, you have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben was married to Rachel, Shimon to Leah. Reuben and Shimon passed away. Now we have two brothers who are Yevamim, two Yevams, Levi and Yehuda. So it happens that Rachel is an erva to Levi. She's his daughter. But she's okay with Yehuda. So Yehuda marries her. Leah, on the other hand, is an erva to Yehuda. She's his daughter. but she's okay with Levi. So Levi can marry her. So you have two sisters. Right? Rachel had two sisters. Who are now both Yevamites. But there's no issue with marrying the Yevama, which happens to be a sister of the other Yevama. Because the other Yevama is off limits to you. She's technically not your Yevama. It's as though you only have one Yevama. So you have one and he has one. And they're okay to go. So this concept of Achosa Sheyevimta, two sisters that are both Yevamis, which does not pose a concern because one of them happens to be Asa to one of these brothers, and the other one is Asa to the other brother, in which case each brother just marries the opposite one. So this formula, this concept, can be applied to all the cases in the Mishnah. You can find it in all the cases. But as we learned yesterday, sometimes you're running into machlekes. For instance, by Eshes Achav Shalei by Elamei, we worked out the whole case, but it's only based on Rabbi Shimon, but Kuntur Rabban, it wouldn't work out. So Mordechai tells us that apparently, when Rebbe tried to, the reason why he said we don't discuss Imoy Anusas Aviv is because we're trying to avoid machlekes, apparently he didn't follow this klal of Reb Chiya, this formula of applying this question of Asur Lazem, that's all the case in the mission, because inevitably you're going to run to machlekes to make it happen. He says the Gemara, no. Rav Ado Karchina, the second line, Rav Ado Karchina, Kamed Rav Kahana Omar, Mishmed Rav, he quotes Rav as follows. Lo'olam Islay L'Rebbe HaNiklal. You know what? Rebbe holds of the klal of Rav Chiya. We're going to apply this formula. Which formula? This concept of Achosa Sheyivimta. Two Yevamis happen to be sisters, and it's still okay to marry one at a time. Each brother takes the Yevam that's mutat him, and lets go of the Yevam that's asur to him. This concept could apply to all the cases, despite the fact that in some cases we're going to get entangled into machlekes, because you know what? The Mishnah does contain elements of machlekes. Oh, one second. So why did the Mishnah add another possible erava? Imoy anusas aviv. Reason why we thought the Mishnah didn't mention it is because we're trying to avoid machlekes. Right? Reuven and Shimon, the father's Yaakov, he was married to Rachel, with whom he had Reuven. He entered a forced relationship. He was Ma'anes Leah, who gave birth to Shimon. Leah married Rachel. Leah married Reuven, Anusas Aviv, right? And then he passes away. Surviving brother Shimon can't be Miyabim. Leah, because she's his mother. So why did the Mishnah mention this case? This type of erva. The reason was because Anusas Aviv is off limits to Reuven. Reuven may not marry this Isha because she was involved in an oinus with his father, Yaakov. And even though according to the Rabbanon, it's mutter, we don't want to get involved in machlekes. But if we're discussing machlekes, if we're allowing machlekes, elements to enter our Mishnah, such just as we decided right now, so then why don't we mention Ima Anusas Aviv? So what was Rebbe's response to Levi? Vachik Amalei, he meant like this. In theory, I can include disputed elements in the Mishnah. However, Imoy Anusas Aviv, this specific case will not work out. B'chada Meshkachasla, Retati Lo Meshkachasla. Remember, Rabbi Chiya's klal said as follows. You have a Chosesh Yivimta, and you have a Surah Lezeh Muteras Lezeh, which means, again, that if you have two brothers passing away, leaving behind two Yivamis, who happen to be sisters, the two surviving brothers have a problem, because each Yivama is a sister of his other Yivama. But if it's a Surah Lezeh and Muteras Lezeh, so one Yivama is also to one brother, but Mutter to the other. And likewise, the second Yivama is also to the second brother, but Mutter to the first brother. And they're okay because each one only focuses on his Yivama. It says he only has one Yivama. So these two elements, Achosesh Yivimta, that's number one. Number two, the way it plays out, we have a scenario of Asur Lezeh Muteras Lezeh. And likewise, Asur Lezeh Muteras Lezeh. Both these elements will not happen. cannot possibly play out by imoy anusa safek. And that's why the Mishnah didn't mention it, because the Mishnah is trying to present cases which can potentially unfold and develop into this type of situation of achoysa shiyevimta and asura lezeh materas lezeh. What does he mean? Yaakov beiz achayes anas. So you have Yaakov on top. He was ma'anis Rachel and Leah, two sisters, who proceeded to marry Reuven and Shimon. Reuven married Rachel, Shimon married Leah. Okay? Reuven and Shimon passed away, leaving behind Levi and Yehuda. Levi is a Yavam, Yehuda is a Yavam. In this case, Levi cannot be Miyavim Rachel or Leah. You know why? So again, Yaakov is Ma'anis Rachel and Leah, and they bore him two children. Rachel gave birth to Levi, and Leah gave birth to Yehuda. Then Reuben married Rachel, Shimon married Leah. Reuben and Shimon passed away. We have two Yevamis on hand, Rachel and Leah. So you would think, you know what, Levi can't marry Rachel, his mother. Imma Yanusa Safif. And Yehuda can't marry Leah because she is his mother, and Anusa Safif. But Levi can marry Leah, and Yehuda can marry Rachel. That's not true. You know why? Because just as Rachel is asa to Levi because she's his mother, Leah is his mother's sister. It's ending with Yehuda. Leah is Yehuda's mother, and Rachel is his mother's sister. One may not marry his aunt. So sure, the first element of the klal of Reb Chiya, achoysa shiyevimta, applies. You can have two yevamis happen to be sisters. Sure, it works out perfectly. But you can have the second element of asur lezem materas and zeb, because in this case, both are us. So again, I Yaakov beis achayes anas. If Yaakov was involved in a forced relationship with two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Rachel gave birth to Levi. Leah gave birth to Yehuda. Then Rachel and Leah married Reuven and Shimon, who passed away. Rachel and Leah both answered to Levi and Yehuda. One is his mother, one is his mother's sister. Hasur lezeh, muteras lezeh, lemishkachas lo. That second element of Reb Chiya's klal. One Yivam is mutter to me, the other one is asur. That doesn't apply in this case. They're both asur to me. Oh, v'beis nachris anas. Say Yaakov was ma'anis two strangers, meaning Rachel and Leah were unrelated to each other, not sisters. And the same thing developed. Rachel gave birth to Levi. Leah gave birth to Yehuda. They proceeded to marry Reuben and Shimon. Reuben married Rachel. Shimon married Leah. Reuben and Shimon passed away. Rachel and Leah now two potential yevamis. So Levi cannot marry Rachel because it's his mother Imoy, who happens to be Anusas Aviv, right? She was involved in Einus with Yaakov. So Rachel is Asa to Levi, but Leah is Mutter, because remember Rachel and Leah in this case are not sisters, she's a total stranger. Yehuda, on the other hand, cannot be Miyabim Leah, who is Imoy, who is his mother Anusas Aviv, but can proceed to Miyabim Rachel, who is not a sister to Leah. So in this case you have that element. But you don't have the sister element. So it's one or the other. V'ibye is nachar is anas. If Yaakov was involved in anas with two strangers, two unrelated nashim, so it results in a case of asur lezeh materas lezeh mishkachasla. One yavam is asur to one yavam, but mutter to the other. The same with the other isha. But the other element of achoysa shiyavim to lezeh mishkachasla, that element of two yavam as being sisters, that's not happening in this case. So that's why we left out Imoy Anusa Safek from the Mishnah. Because we want to apply the klal of Reb Chiya, which contains two elements. We want to apply it to all the cases in the Mishnah. It won't pan out in this case. Rav Ashi Yomar. He's going to give us another approach, another answer to this question. Why don't we mention a Yevama who happens to be his mother, who was Nanas through his father? Imoy Anusa Safek. You know what? Rebbe doesn't follow the klal of Reb Chiya. We don't reckon with this whole system of Asur. That doesn't really affect the Mishnah. You know what? The Mishnah can get involved in discussion that involves machlekes. So back to the question. So why not? Why didn't the Mishnah mention case number 16? Instead of 15 Nashim, 16 Nashim. Imoy Anusas Aviv. So Shimon's mother, Anusas Aviv, happened to be married to Reuven, his brother with whom he shares a father. Reuven passes away. This Isha is now also on Shimon because she's his mother and Anusas Aviv. What did the Rebbe mean when he responded so harshly, so to speak? He said, he's not making any sense. The Ka'amrle, what did he mean to say? He meant as follows. Pay attention, pay close attention to the Lashna Mishnah, and you'll see that our Mishnah follows Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow Reuven to marry an Isha with whom his father had a forced relationship. So theoretically, we can get involved in machlokes. We can speak about cases where there's a difference of opinion as to whether it's mutar or asa. But in this case, we can't speak about a case that's asa because we're speaking according to Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't allow it to happen. The Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. Hachik Amrle, he meant as follows. My time will daikas masnisen. Pay close attention to the Lashna Mishnah, the masnisen Rabbi Yehuda. It's apparent that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, Shita de Asa Banusas Aviv, doesn't allow Reuven to marry Rachel, who was Nanas through Yaakov, his father. She has no business getting involved in a relationship with Rachel to begin with, let alone dying and leaving her behind as a Yevama. How do we know this? Tiktani, Shesh Arayas Chamuris Me'ilu. The next Mishnah, we have six cases of Nashim who are Arayas, who are more severe, more Chamer than the 15 mentioned in the first Mishnah. They can never marry brothers. You see, Shimon can end up facing a Yevama who's Shimon's daughter. Because Shimon's daughter may marry Reuven, his brother with whom he shares a father, but there are certain arayas that can never get around the family. And therefore, they can never be involved in a Yevam circumstance and Sarasain Mutar, and therefore, the concept of Tzara doesn't apply. Who are the six? We'll mention just a couple. Imai, Shimon's mother forced him as a Yevama. Veishas Aviv, Shimon's father's wife forced him as Yevama. Vachais Aviv, Shimon's father's sister. All these women are not meant to be in a Yevam circumstance to Shimon because they're not meant to be married to Reuven either. Now let's analyze the three cases. My Imai. What does Imai mean? Ilai manasuas Aviv. This woman, Rachel, is Shimon's mother and also happened to be married to Shimon's father, Yaakov, who also has another son, by the way, Reuven. So then, if she was married to Yaakov, then that's included in the other case, Eishes Aviv, wife of his father. Apparently it's a different case, right? El Lav Anusas Aviv. Ima means she's Shimon's mother, Shimon the surviving brother's mother, was involved in a forced relationship with his father Yaakov. And the Mishnah tells us, Uktani, that Isha can never legally marry Reuven, which would create a Yevam situation where Reuven passes away and leaves her behind as a Yevamah to Shimon. It can't happen. It can't happen. They can only marry strangers. Lacher mean only strangers. Lachan, you can't marry brothers. Imai. Anus Asaviv can never marry Reuven, with whom Shimon shares a mother. You know why? Man Shamas Lay the Isli Hai Svara. Who holds of this Svara? Who holds of this Shita that even Reuven has to keep far away from this woman, this Rachel woman, who is Nanas by his father Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. The Asab Anus Asaviv doesn't allow one to marry this Isha. Mishamachi, like Tanikla. That's why our Mishnah never mentioned Anus Asaviv. Because Reuven has no business marrying Anus Asaviv. It's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. That's a simple terrace to Yukash. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Is that the reason why we omit this erva from the list in the Mishnah? Because it's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Nami, Meshkachas, even going to Rabbi Yehuda, we can concoct a case where Imoy Anus Asaviv can fully Yibam to Shimon, the surviving brother. The Avraham Nasif. I understand Reuven has no business marrying Rachel, who was Nanas by his father Yaakov. But suppose he did. he transgressed. At most, it's a lav. So the kedushin takes hold by an isha who's a chayav elavin. So suppose Reuven did go ahead and married Rachel, who was the anusa of Yaakov, the father. Reuven passes away, and she's awaiting Yibum to Shimon, the surviving brother. And the like Tani, which doesn't discuss these b'di'evets, averas that are done. I'm the Ravash Rav Kahana. You know what? This scene can play out even without Reuven, the departed brother, having committed any Yisurim. You can still end up with a case that the surviving brother Shimon is faced with a Yevama who happens to be Imai Anusas Aviv. Without Reuven having done anything wrong. How's that? As follows. Yaakov Anas Kalosi. Yaakov the grandfather. That's, he had a son, Reuven, married to Rachel. He was Ma'anis, his daughter-in-law, Rachel, who bore him Levi. So now Levi and Reuven are technically brothers. They share the same father, Yaakov. So Yaakov, Anas Kalosai, Vohilin Mena Ben, he had a son, Levi. Right? Now, Umeis Reuven, Reuven, Rachel's husband, passes away without children. V'nafel l'kamei bro. Rachel's now Yevama, falling to her own son, Levi. And Levi cannot be Miyavim, this Isha, who is Imai, his mother, and also Anusas Aviv. Umigo di'ihi Asira, just like she is Asa Levim. So Rasanami Asira, her Tzara. Let's say Reuven had another wife on the side, Leah. They're both Asa. So here's a case of Yevama, who is Imai, Anusas Aviv, and it so happens that Reuven, the departed brother, did nothing wrong. It was his father's fault that this whole thing happened. He did nothing wrong. He was legally married. He did absolutely nothing wrong. So why can't we mention this type of case in the Mishnah? Imanus Asaviv, without any surim done on the part of the departed brother, Reuven. Amalei Rav Kahana responds, Ba'achavasa de'atera kamayri. We discussed cases where it's a permissible brotherhood. They became brothers through heter. Ba'achvasa di yisur le'kemari. We don't discuss scenarios where the entire brothership is based on yisurim. Levi was turned into Reuven's brother through an isur. So we're not going to get involved in that case. Ba'aval pikein, says the Gemara, bottom line is, even though Rebbe shooed away, so to speak, Levi, he didn't reckon with his suggestion. He didn't want to add it into the Mishnah. But Kalevi Bimas Nisei. Levi himself, the one who asked this question, added it, inserted it. Like Botka's Lashon Bedek HaBayis. He fixed it up. He put it into his brises. And he added this case, this very case of Imai Anusas Aviv. She's Isha number 16. The Tani Levi. Imai, a Yevamo happens to be Shimon, the surviving brother's mother, at times, pa'amim poiteres tzarasa. Not only is she exempt from Yibam, but she's going to affect the other wife as well. Make her pater. Because remember, the concept of being poiter tzara is strictly if the two nashim were part of the same Yibam household. So at times, this can happen. You have a Yivam who happens to be Shimon's mother. And since she's in a Yibam circumstance with another Isha, Leah, let's say, Leah is also pater. As tzaras erva, upamim. Other times, ena pater tzarasa. A mother will not exempt, will not affect the other wife. She wasn't legally married to his departed brother Reuven. Ketzad, how does this play out? Hoisa imay nusuas aviv. So we have Yaakov, the grandfather. Two sons, Rachel, Reuven and Shimon, who share a father. And Reuven was married to Rachel and Leah. And he passed away. If Rachel was Shimon's mother and married to his father, married to Yaakov, in which case Reuven has no business marrying her. In fact, even if he tries marrying her, it's a karis. There's no kedushin taking effect at all. So she never really entered his household, and therefore Leah, the other wife, is not affected by Rachel. She doesn't exist, as far as Leah is concerned. So if she was really Imoy and Nesuas Aviv, Rachel was Shimon's mother, but also actually married to Yaakov, his father. And this is L'achiv mi'av umeis. Then she proceeded to marry Reuven, with whom Shimon shares a father. He has no business doing that, and his condition is totally invalid. And then Reuven passes away, leaving behind Rachel, this questionable Isha, and Leah, another legally married wife. Zoyi imoy she'em peter tzaros. In this case, the fact that imoy is falling leivim to Shimon, this imoy, this Rachel, has no business being here. She was never really married to Reuven. So she's not going to affect Leah, the other Isha, and the Leah is a plain, simple, standard Yivam. But suppose the situation was a bit different. Rachel, who was Shimon's mother, was not really actually married to Yaakov the father. She was Anusa to Yaakov. In this case, Reuven should not be marrying this Isha, this Rachel, because we're following Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, right? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? It's Aser, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Aser, and there's a lav involved. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's Aser, the condition is Tefes, Rashi says. The condition that Reuven does to this Isha takes effect, takes hold. And that's the cloud that we work with all the time, that condition can be activated with an Isha that only involves a lav, as opposed to an Isha where the relationship generates kares. So again, this Rachel who proceeded to marry Reuven entered into a valid marriage. It was a proper, it was a condition that's teifis, although it's aser, but it worked. So Isa imanus is of it. Venisis la'achiv ma'avim, she proceeded to marry Reuven, with whom Shimon shares a father, umeis, and Reuven passes away. Zohi imo isha b'teres tzaros. In this case, Rachel is certainly asa to Shimon, because she's his mother. But since she was only nanas by Yaakov, Reuven technically married her afterwards. It worked, and she was part of that family. Now Leah is affected by Rachel. So just as Rachel is an erva to Shimon, Leah is considered a tzaros erva. So Levi actually put it into the Mishnah. This is potential case number 16. Even though in our version of the Mishnah only had 15 nashim, but really we can add a 16th, such as this. Okay? Here starts a new discussion. Reish Lakish has a shayla to Rabbi Yechon. According to Levi, who added Imoy Anusas Aviv onto the list of the Mishnah. Why? Apparently, he's going to include, he's comfortable including even B'di'evitz, D'i, such as Imoy Anusas Aviv, who was never meant to get married to Reuven. There's a lav involved. But we discussed those cases as well. If so, I have another one for you. Another potential Isha, another potential Erva, which came about through a Isser. But it comes about, nevertheless. Listen, achilas liyivamte. What's the case? So there's a yivama awaiting yibam. Reuven does chalitza liyivamte to this Rachel. V'chazer v'kitcha. After chalitza, he may not get one shot at it. Afterward, it's over. You can't go ahead and remarry him. But he did so. He was mekadosher. And there's a lav, Rashi says. It says, Asher lo yivnes based of achiv. Once you give up the opportunity, kivin shlo yibana shuv lo yivne. You may not do it again. It's a one-time opportunity. Umeit b'lo yibana. Reuven did it, as we said. Kedushin is teifis by yechayav elavim. So the kedushin worked. He passed away without children. He left behind Rachel, this remarried yivama, and another ish on the side later. And in this case, this Yivam is off limits because the surviving brother Shimon may not engage with Rachel, because although she was once a Yivama, but once Reuven did Chalitza, that's it. The Yivama status sort of expires right there. Now she becomes like a regular sister-in-law to the other brothers. So even though Reuven himself did Kedushin, and actually we're going to learn soon in the Gemara that, according to Reish Lakish, the fellow who did the chalitza and he goes and does the kedushin again to him, she's only chayav alav. It's considered chayav alav. Okay, so to him it worked. She was legally married to Reuven, but now when he passes away and she's a yevama to Shimon, to Levi, to Yehuda, to them she's usher as a regular sister-in-law. She's chayav karis. She's an erva. So just as she's an erva, Hatzara is usher as well. So here's case number 17 in the Mishnah. A chalutza. Amalei levisheina betzaras tzara, says Rabbi Yechanan. You're right. We could have included this in the Mishnah. But you realize all the cases in the Mishnah, all the arayas, are usher, leave them. The isser spills over to the tzara and also to the tzara's tzara and so on and so forth, which meant that if that tzara marries another brother who happens to have another wife and that fellow passes away, just like the tzara's usher leibim, the tzara's tzara as well is usher leibim, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to a chalutza, you can't play out such a scenario. Why? Because in this case, we have a chalutza. So let's say we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Reuven passes away without children, leaving behind Rachel. Rachel is a potential yevama to all the surviving brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shimon decides, you know what, I'm going to take on the cause. He does chalitza to Rachel. Okay? Now, her yevama status expires. As far as Levi and Yehuda are concerned, she's a regular sister-in-law. She loses that yevama status. What happened? Shimon decided to do kiddushin, to give it another shot. He's a chalitza, he feels better, you know, he does kiddushin. He takes her in. Of course, it's aser, it's a lav. To him, it's a lav. Because he did chalitza. And once you do that, it's too late. You can't be boina again. So it's a lav. But as we said, the kedushin work. Now, she's still also curse to other brothers, because as far as they're concerned, she becomes an ordinary sister-in-law. So now when Shimon passes away, leaving behind this Isha Rachel, and also happens to have his own wife later. So Rachel is asa to Levi and Yehuda, but Karis, she's a sister-in-law. And Leah as well is asa, because she's a Tzaras Erva. Now, just as Rachel may not marry any brother, Levi and Yehuda, Leah as well is off-limits to Levi and Yehuda. Remember, this is an issa that's universal, it's applicable equally to all surviving brothers. It's not like the case in the Mishnah we have Vita, she's my daughter, not yours. She's my aunt, not yours. So that's a selective isser, which can be directed at a specific brother. In which case you say, okay, she's also to me, but let's say the tzara of that ever marry another brother to whom she's mutter, and that brother passed away. Now what happens then? If that brother has another wife. So the tzara of that tzara is also to me again, because she's a tzara. Right? So you can play it out down the line. There's tzaras and tzaras, because the ervas discussed in the Mishnah are specific to one brother. But she's mutter to the other brothers. So you can have cases where they'll marry another brother, and that brother will pass away and leave behind two wives, and that tzara's marry another brother. The chiddush is, in all those cases, even the tzara's erva is still usher to me, because they're all sort of affected by my erva. But in this case, you can't say tzara. Nobody has any business marrying any of these two nashim. Not Levi, not Yehuda. Because both these nashim were tainted. Rachel was their sister-in-law. She was Reuven's former wife, with whom they had they had an opportunity to do Yibam, and they gave up the opportunity. So now she's an ordinary sister-in-law, and they're tzara. Her tzara is also asa to all the brothers equally. It's an issa that applies to all brothers equally. So the concept of tzara can't play out. It can't work. That's why the Mishnah didn't mention it. So technically you're right. We could have added it to the list. A brother did chalitza, then went back to her and did kiddushin, and he passes away, leaving her behind. The brothers can't do yivam. She's an erva, but it stops right there. She's an erva. Hatzara is an erva, and that's it. And no brother will engage with any of these nashim any longer. So you can never have the next step, and the third step, and the fourth step of tzara tzara. So that was the response of Rabbi Yechon. Asks the Gemara, why did he respond in this manner? He should have just said, you know what? I want to tell you something. A chalutza is only chayav elavin. See, Rabbi Yechon, we're going to see some Rabbi Yechon holds that a yivama who had a chalitza experience is not treated like an ordinary sister-in-law which generates kares. She's a chayav elavin. That's all. One may not interact with her, it's a lav. Whether it's Shimon, the fellow who did the chalitza, whether it's Levi, whether it's Yehuda, it's an equal issa to all the brothers. We don't differentiate between Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yechon's shita. She assumes the status of a chayav elav. Now the fact is, v'chayav elav v'nei chalitza v'yibam ninu, a yivam with whom you're not allowed to interact because of a chayav elav. The halacha is that she's still a yivama. If there's an iser kares, she's not a yivama. Give away. But if she's an iser lav, you still have to do something. You have to do chalitza. Rashi says, why? Because why is there a ptur erva by a ptur from yivam by an erva? We learned from achayis isha back in Nafgimel, right? Achayis isha is kares. But if it's an isha that just produces lav, you have to do chalitza. So that should have been a Rabbi Yechon's response. You know why we don't mention chalitza in the Mishnah? Because she's chayiv. You have to do chalitza. She's not an ordinary erva who's totally off the table, off the scene, rejected from the yibum equation. Says the Gemara, the Dvar of Karmali. Rabbi Yechon himself would have provided that as the answer. But he was just relating to Rish Lakish's opinion. He was speaking on Rish Lakish's wavelength, so to speak. The truth is, according to me, Rabbi Yechon, a chalutza is considered love. In this situation, you do. Yom HaKayim is Vasipo. Not Yibam, but chalitza. And therefore, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah, which discusses only cases which are totally rejected and exempt from Yibam and Chalitz. El of the Dach, but according to you, Chayav HaKaris is Ninu. You hold, right, not to get confused, we're going to see a whole presentation right in a minute. The Gemara will now present the Machalik Zerich and Rish Lakish. But according to you, that the Isha that underwent Chalitz is not considered an ordinary sister-in-law, except for the brother who did the Chalitz, but to everybody else, she's an ordinary sister-in-law, she's Chayav HaKaris. So that serves the basis of your shaila. Why did the Mishnah mention this as a potential erva? Should be number 16, number 17 on the list, a chalutza. She may not have yibum done by any brother because she's a chayiv krisis. Oh, so according to you, I have another teres. V'she'en ha'betzaras tzara, as we explained earlier, because she's an asa to all the brothers equally. Tzaras tzara will never play out. That's only something that happens when other brothers pick her up. In this case, no brothers get involved with her. Oh. So what indeed is the machlekes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish by a chalutz? Itmar, a chayis leave him to. So you have Reuven passed away, left behind. Rachel and Leah. Shimon stepped up to the plate. He did chalitza to Rachel. V'chaz v'kitcha. Then he had second thoughts. He did kiddushin. He wants to have her. So what happens? Amar Rish Lakish, who ain't chayev al chalutza karis. There's no karis between him and the chalutza. Between Shimon and Rachel, there's no karis. There's a love, but not a karis. Because once he did chalitza to her, he sort of interacted with her. To him, she's not just a regular sister-in-law. There's some initiation, some interaction. She's called a chalutza. She's not an ordinary sister-in-law. She's a yivama who had chalitza from him. So between those two, there's a lav, no karis. Va'ach and Chayov and Alchol, it's a karis. But the surviving brothers, Levi and Yehuda, to them, Rachel is a plain sister-in-law. She lost her Yavam status, her Yavama status. There's karis involved. So that's regarding Rachel, the Chalutza. What about regarding Leah, Reuven's other wife, who is sort of ignored up until this point? You only do Chalitza or Yivam on one Yivama, right? You sort of exempt the entire household. So Leah was sort of passive up until this point. What's her status? Alat Sara? Regarding the other wife, Bein Hu, Ubein Achim, Chayoven, Alat Sara, Karis, whether it's Shimon, whether it's Levi or Yehuda, with Leah, they have Karis. Because she never went through the Yibum or Chalitza at all. She's a plain sister-in-law. So basically, according to Rish Lakish, there's Karis all around. Except for Shimon with Rachel. Shimon the Yavam, Rachel the Yavam, who had Chalitza from Shimon. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he disagrees. There's only love all around. Bein Hu uBein Achan, whether it's the actual brother who did Chalitza to Rachel, or the other brothers who were not involved. Whether it's Shimon, whether it's Levi, whether it's Yehuda, Einan Chayoven, Loyal Chalitza Karis, well, it's Sarah Karis. There's no Karis between them and the Chalitza, Rachel, or between them and the Tzara Leah. What's the background? What's the Svara of the Machlekes? My time with the Rish Lakish, Amakro. This fellow does Chalitza, and the Pasuk says, and we learn at Rasha, Kivan Shalei Bona, Shuvla Yivne. Once you had that opportunity, you gave it up, you did Chalitza, you didn't reestablish your departed brother's family. That's it. Shuvla Yivne, go home. There's a love. Ihu, who did Kari Bela Yivne. Shimon, who missed that opportunity. Shimon, who did Chalitza instead of Yivim. La Yivne applies to him. So between him and Rachel, there's a love. Aval Achiv, could the Kaimi Kaimi. But the other brothers were not involved in Chalitza, Shimon and Levi. They're ordinary brother-in-laws. They're Karis. Number one. So he has love, but the other brothers have Karis. Vala Dida, who the Kaimi Bela Yivne. What about Rachel and Leah, the Yavama and the Tzara, Allah did da for the Kai B'la Yivna. La Yivna applies to her, specifically to Rachel, who had this Chalitza done to her. Her Tzara, but the other Isha, the Kaimi, they remain as is. They stay put. They are ordinary sister-in-laws. So basically, going to Rish Lakish, you have to sort of transform the sister-in-law to a Yavama. That only happens to Rachel, the Chalutza, vis-a-vis Shimon, the Chalut. That's it. Between those two, we have love. But otherwise, the other Nashim, the other brothers, they retain their Karis status. Rabbi Yechon vehemently disagrees. He says, how can you say this? Rabbi Yechon on Miyika Miti, how can you have a situation to Miyikara at one point, at the early point in the situation here, when the Yibum was initiated, when the fellow passed away, Iboy hai chalitz. All brothers have an equal chance, right? If Shimon wants, he can do chalitz. Iboy, if Levi wants, hai chalitz, he can do the chalitz. So all had an equal opportunity, all had an equal shot at it. They were all potential chalitzim. The same with the Noshim. You're not limited to Rachel. You could have done Leah. V'yiboy, if they want Lahai Chalitz, could have done Chalitza to Rachel. V'yiboy Lahai Chalitz to Leah. So all the brothers are potential Chalitzim. All the Noshim are potential Chalutzis. V'ash to Koyal Allah B'Karis. Now you're going to turn into a Karis. Ela Iyush Lichusa Da'achim Kavit. Rabbi Yechanan subscribes to the concept of Shlichus, representation. You can't have all brothers doing Chalitza. One does on behalf of all. You can't do Chalitza to all the Nashim. One Yavama, and she represents them all. But all the brothers were involved. They are all considered like Chalitzim. They only have that love, Ashala Yivna. All the Nashim, all the Yavamis, are considered like Chalutzas. You can't do them to all. But one represents them all. It's as though they all went through the experience, the Chalitza experience. and they experienced the words of the pasuk, Ashalayivnes Beisachav. Therefore, they have a lav, and that's it. They're no longer ordinary sister-in-laws. They're vamis. They experienced the chalitza, although not personally. They were represented by the other isha. Although all the brothers didn't do chalitza, they were represented by the brother who did. They all have the same halacha. It's as though they all did chalitza to all the yivamis. Ella iush techusa de'acham ka'avid. When Shimon stepped forward and did chalitza, he was representing the brothers. They all experienced that chalitza. Ihi. Same with the isha, the yivama, Rachel. Shlichusa de'tzara ka'avda. She was just representing the other wife. It's as though all the women, all the yivamis, experienced chalitza, and therefore they have the love, le'ivna. That's it, there's no curse. It says Rashi off to the left, around 2-3 lines down. How can you say this? How can you say that? I have a situation where all brothers can potentially do the chalitza. And same with the yavamis. You can choose, you can pick and choose which yavami you want. Now just because he chose one, because one brother decided to step forward and do chalitza to one isha, suddenly the tzara becomes a karis. She was my yavam, I could have done it to her as well. And all the brothers suddenly revert to karis. Rather, haish lechusa deduk avad. He represents them all. The mikara hayirushus biat kulon. They could have all done it. He represents them. V'chein hish lechusa tzara avda. Same with the nashim. Each one was a potential yavama. She represents the other isha. Just like you agree that Shimon to Rachel has layivna, lav, same applies to Leah the Tzara. Same with the other brothers. They all have the same Isra layivna because they're all involved in the Chalitza. So bottom line is that according to Rish Lakish, we have this stark difference, this differentiation between himself and the brothers, between the Chalitza and the Tzara. Typically, there's a curse, except for one single case, Shimon with his chalutza. That turns into a lav, ashalayivna. But it's a kodja b'yechanan. Whether it's the chalutza, Rachel who had chalitza, whether it's Leah who had no chalitza, whether it's Shimon who did the chalitza, or the other brothers who did not do the chalitza, they all represent each other, they all experience the same chalitza experience. And the concept of the lav ashalivne beis achiv applies to all equally. Eis ve'erbiyachim l'Rish Lakish. Have a kasha to Rish Lakish. Ha'achoyitzel eslivimtoi. V'chaza v'kitchom. So Reuben passed away. Shimon did chalitza to Rachel. And he was over the Isser, he was mekadosh. Umeis, and Shimon passes away. Tzricha chalitza menachin. So the brothers have to do chalitza to Rachel. Bishlam l'didida mina chayav elav v'ninu. This works according to me, that a chalitza, even to the other brothers, only involves lav. Haynu d'tricha chalitza menachad. That explains why they have to be mechalitza, because a chayav elavin requires chalitza. El didach. But according to you, that a chalitza is considered a chayav karis to the other brothers. Amai tzricha chalitza. Why is he chalitza? She's a full-fledged erva. V'tameich, says Rish Lakish, according to you, aim a sefer. Let's proceed to the next part of the brayse, which says, Amad echad menachin v'kitcho. If one of the brothers was mekadesher, so Reuben passed away, leaving Rachel behind. Shimon, one of the brothers, did chalitza. But then Levi, not Shimon, Levi did the Kedushin. And he passes away. Ein la'olav klum. He didn't pass away. Levi was Makadosh. Ein la'olav klum. She's not required to get anything from Levi to leave him. I mean, there's no get involved. It's not a Kedushin. It's an invalid kedushin. Why? Because this isha, this Rachel, was a chalutza. One second, v'i chayav elav ninu. This is a kasha Rabbi Yechanan. That Rachel is only chayav lav to Levi. Right? Because a chalutza has only lav to all brothers. Amai ein lo alav klum. Why is there no get required? We know that kedushin does work by a chayav elavin. She's his wife. Amar Rav Sheshes, seifa ason Rabbi Kiva. Oh, the last part of the brayse. That's following Rabbi Kiva's shita. The Amar ein kedushin taifsin mechayav elavin. That's a mechudas shita. He says that a kedushin does not hold with an isha that has a lav. Okay, so basically, this brayse can work according to Rabbi Yochanan. The first case of the brayse, we have Shimon doing chalitza to Rachel, Reuben's wife. And then he's Makadashur. And he passes away. We have some other brothers, Levi and Yehuda, they have to do chalitza. And this was the right Rabbi Yochanan, that she's a chayav elavin, and therefore chalitza is in place. What about the Sefer, where we learn that Shimon did chalitza to Reuben's wife, but then Levi picked her up, did kedushin? She doesn't need a get because she's not married to him. What do you mean she's not married? It's only a lav according to Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, we're going to Rabbi Kiva, we're going to follow Rabbi Kiva, the Omar ain't kedushin tefsim chayiv a lav, and kedushin doesn't work when there's a lav involved. Well, once we have that shift in the Mishnah between the Reisha, which is following Shitas Rabbanon, who hold that a chayiv a lavin can have kedushin, right? That was the first case in the Brais. Reuben passed away, left behind Rachel. Shimon was chalitza, and then he decided to be mekadosh, and then he passed away. So that was a question: what the other brothers do? They do chalitza. It's pretty clear that Shimon was able to do kedushin, even though she was already his chalitza. There's a lav. We're following the rabbanon. The kedushin works by chayav elavin. But then the sefer, you just told me that the sefer is following Rabbi Kiva. There's no kedushin by chayav elavin. So the mission should have expressed that we're going, we're shifting to Rabbi Kiva. We're listening to Rabbi Kiva. Ain lo lav klum according to Rabbi Kiva. There's no get involved because there's no kedushin. Mishnah should have the Brisa should have made that clear. We just shifted to a different shita kasha. You're right. This is an unresolved kasha. We're not sure why the Brisa chose to present the halachas in this manner. But in any case, the Brisa will work properly according to Rabbi Yochanan. And this was a kasha on Rish Lakish. Okay, time for a rather brief chazara of today's daf. Mishnah speaks about the 15 noshim, which are arayis, that don't have yibum. Question, what about imoy anusas aviv? Well, this concept of Reb Chiya, two sisters being yivamois, one of them is asa to one brother, one to the other brother, will not pan out by imoy anusas aviv, as we explained. Another pshat in the Gemara was, well, it's clear that our Mishnah is following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't allow anybody to marry anusas aviv. So Reuben has no business marrying this Isha who was nanas by Yaakov, his father. Fact is, Levi did actually add it to his braisa. He added case number 16, Imoy Anusas Aviv. That took us to the next question. Once we're discussing scenarios that are based on Isser, right? Because even though Reuben is not meant to marry Anusas Aviv, right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we discussed it as well. We added it to the list. So why don't we speak about the case of a chalutza? It's a case of b'di'evid, and can play itself out in the Yibam situation. So we have Reuben passing away, leaving behind Rachel Yavama. Shimon does Chalitza, and then he does Kedushin to that same Chalitza. That's problematic. It's an Isser, but he did it. And now Shimon passes away, and the surviving brother Levi or Yehuda want to know what to do. Right? So why did the Mishnah mention that as a case? Because in this case, at least according to Rish Lakish, as we saw, right? In this case, there's a curse. She's a regular erva to the other brothers. So that was Rish Lakish's kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara actually said, now we understand, the Gemara actually said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it wouldn't have been a kasha to begin with, because remember, Rabbi Yochanan holds that even a chalutza is just al chayav elavin to any brother. And a chayav elavin requires chalitza. So it doesn't belong in our Mishnah where we have cases that are totally exempt from yivam. That would have been the good terrorist that Rabbi Yochanan could have responded to Rish Lakish's kasha. But he didn't want to get involved in personal discussion. That was his personal opinion. He wanted to relate to Rish Lakish's personal opinion, which is that a chalutza is bekaris to the other brothers. So why did the Mishnah mention? Because it doesn't fit with Tzara's Tzara, because she has no business marrying the other brothers, which is the only way to create Tzara's Tzara, and therefore the Mishnah omitted it. We ended with the machlokes regarding the status of a chalutza. So we have two nashim falling leave, Rachel and Leah, And we have one of the brothers doing chalitza to say to Rachel. So we have the brother who did chalitza who? We have the other brothers that did not, were not involved in the chalitza. We have the chalitza herself, Rachel. We have the Leah, the other wife. So what happens? What's their status? According to Rish Lakish, the only one that gets off easy is the who with the chalitza, Shimon with the isha that he was chalitz. There's a lava layivna, but regarding the other brothers, they have karas. They weren't involved in the chalitza. To them, she's just an ordinary sister-in-law. And regarding the tzara, there's karas all around, to him and to the brothers. Rabbi Yechon disagrees. He says, no, he represents the brothers. She represents all the wives in the family. And therefore, the concept of yivna applies to all the brothers and to all the women equally. And all you have is a lava, not a karas. All the best to you and much atzlacha.